Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Greg. How are you today?
Welcome to Detours for another Saturday here on Joy 94.9.
It's a great Saturday, although I have to say I'm feeling sad. I went out to Melbourne Airport last night and said goodbye to a very, very lovely friend of mine, who's gone back to India. So, you know, travel is hard when you meet fantastic, amazing people and they have to go.
But that's the beauty of detours, because we sometimes head on a particular pathway and we meet people along the way that become friends forever, companions for short periods of time, and it's about the journey, the beautiful part of interacting with the other members of our human species. It's
absolutely
fabulous.
It is fantastic, and I wish him well and I hope he has a safe trip on. What are you up to today, Greg?
Well, I want to start by thanking Pete Dillon for producing such a great Craving show with Serena Ryan, Noni Hazelhurst and Shannon Chappell Power, who were the three co-hosts during SatMag. So thank you for a great show this morning, and it's been a pleasure every Saturday. It's Joy's premier current affairs show every Saturday, 10 till 12. So thank you. It's good to be there.
And a special thanks as well to Michael for the news. He did a terrific job. You're listening to Detours here on Joy 94.9. It's about 8 minutes past 12. We'll be with you right to 1 o'clock. And as always, we love to hear from you. You can SMS us 0427 Joy 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au.
Or send us a tweet to at Detours Joy 949.
You're so.com. I can never remember that address. I should write that down, a little note to myself. Now, today on Detours, we're delighted to introduce two very special guests. Well, in fact, we have three, but we've got two speaking guests. So I'd like to welcome Andrew Follows from Blinky Photography. Welcome to the studio.
Welcome, Jody and Greg.
Andrew, pleasure to have you back. It's been a few months. But
it's been. Yeah.
And your non-speaking companion, of course, is Eamon, your guide dog, who's lying very quietly on the floor there doing it. His tail's wagging just when we said his name.
I just tried to lie down.
Nice. And I'd also like to welcome and introduce Kate Martin.
Hi,
Jamie. Hi there. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. And so Kate's an art educator and Australian curator.
Yes, that's right.
And you're Australian, but you've been living in the UK.
I have been. I've been there for about 3 years.
Terrific. Well, in a few moments, we'll hear more about that journey and then why you're back here and why you're going back.
Sure.
But, Andrew, you were last on the program on Detours here on Joy talking about, I'm trying to recall, you had an exhibition at Fed Square.
Exhibition at Fed Square, No Vacancy Gallery, yes.
That was
back in March.
That's right. Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
The tongue flies.
It really does. And so, just to refresh our listeners or people who might not have met you before, just tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, I'm visually impaired or legally blind, have a guide dog, and I'm a photographer. So I go around photographing the world around me that other people sort of miss or don't see within their own eyes. So my photography is basically abstract night photography.
Now, we should just ask that question, which I asked last time. How do you visualise, and what do you see when you're lining up your photography? You're lining up your subject. How do you conceptualise what you're about to shoot?
I have a plan before I head out. So, like for example, the last photo job I did was St Paul's Cathedral with the Christmas lights. So you know what you're going to be doing prior to heading out, and then setting up the camera. And with digital cameras now, you've got the nice live screen, which is about 2-inch live screen, so you can see images just sort of frame up. And because I can't see the detail though, so I'm not seeing the changes of the colours and all that sort of stuff. But knowing that you've framed up the steeple and that, and take a few sample shots and then fire away.
So. Now, while that's happening, you're picking up comments from people around, probably in a way that we don't. People that are fully sighted don't. Are you hearing people's explanations?
You're getting a lot of comments now. Yeah.
What sort of things do they say?
Oh, look at that person. He's got a guide dog, but he's got a camera. That doesn't make sense. You know, it's all that sort of notion, and it's challenging their beliefs. You know, okay, yeah, he's obviously blind because he's got a guide dog, but he's also got a camera strapped around his neck taking photos, and they can't quite understand that. And then you hear them taking photos of me taking photos.
Oh, so the photographer becomes the subject.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sort of life imitating art, imitating life.
And yeah. I can understand that, because if you're talking about it, they go, yeah, right, they're not going to believe you. But if they've got the image there, look, there he is. It's good. And you do get a lot of people come up and they want to talk and ask questions about what I'm doing. And I'm quite happy to you know, let them know, and this is what I do and this is how I do it.
And how did you actually get into photography? Because it's not something you've done necessarily all your life.
On and off. I think the last 4 years, that's where I took it the next level where I am today. So just by, I did a series of workshops through Photography Made Easy, and worked with him for 12 months, and where he taught me all the ins and outs of photography, taught me how to put an exhibition together, how to print and frame. And then through his networks, involved with an international art group, Merca Art, where I've had some of my works published in international art books and done group exhibitions. So it's been a fantastic journey. I think to date I've had about, I think there is 7 exhibitions now all up, which is very, very proud.
You should be, Andrew. That's an incredible achievement. It really is. And coming up on the agenda this year, 2012, you are trying to get to Edinburgh Art Festival.
Yes.
So what inspired you? And we'll sort of, I guess, involve Kate in this part of this discussion. I mean, how is it that you connected?
The project started early last year, because initially I was going to London. And that just wasn't going to come off, because the timing was all wrong when I wanted to go over there, because you got the Olympic Games in London at the same time. So I spoke to a really good friend of mine who works for Rural Access in Shepparton, and her friend...
My mum.
Your mum.
Thanks, mum.
contacted... introduced me to Kate via, connecting via email, and Kate's based in Edinburgh, and we sent a few emails and then spoke about the project, did some Skype calls, and now we're sort of, the project's sort of that step closer of becoming a reality for me.
And Kate, how did you end up in Edinburgh from Australia?
Good question. I guess it's a bit of a long story. I'll make it as short as possible.
We've only got 45 minutes.
It's not that long. Well, my dad's a Scot, and I'd always wanted to go over to Scotland and meet my relatives and see what it was like living there. So I'd been doing a master's, and I did a travel exchange to Germany and then travelled around, met all my relatives in Scotland while I was overseas, and I guess I just decided to come back and try living overseas and seeing what it was like. And it felt like a second home very, very quickly, and I guess the rest is history. I just kind of paved a way for myself and settled in really well, so... Yeah.
And have you always been interested in art?
I have, absolutely. I guess right the way from high school through to went to TAFE and did a diploma, and then continued on, went to uni to do a Bachelor of Visual Arts. So I started off as a practicing artist, but then it soon sort of became apparent that that's not really where my talents lay.
And why is that?
Well, I guess I'm much more of an organizer than a talented person. So I,
it takes talent to organize.
Oh, yeah.
I guess so. Yeah, kind of talent for organization and administration and those sorts of things.
Dealing with difficult artists.
And are they difficult, Kate? You can be honest with us, including Andrew.
Depends on which artists you're talking about. Andrew's certainly one of the least difficult artists I've had to work with, I must admit. It's been an absolute joy to work with him. We've had some really great times. I think it's been a learning curve for both of us and a real eye opener. I started working in education a couple of years ago, and so I was already starting to work with the disability arts sector anyway. But then meeting Andrew and working with him really highlighted a lot of the issues that I think a lot of artists and perhaps even curators as well sometimes forget or neglect when they're putting on shows. So something that I found really fascinating and very interesting and lots of fun as well.
Now, that's an introduction. That's an introduction to Kate Martin and Andrew Follows. I know out there you've got some questions that are starting to form. You can SMS these questions to 0427JOY949. If you're overseas, it's +61 427 569 949. Or you can email onair@joy.org.au and put your questions directly to Andrew and Kate via Jodie and myself. You're on Detours here on Joy 94.9.
Here's another classic on Joy.
Melbourne's most lovable station is now giving you more reasons to listen. Joy 94.9.
Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing, green to red.
And you're listening to Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg, and it's about 21 past 12. We're with you right up to 1 o'clock. Detours is the travel show, and we love hearing from you. And in fact, we've had a couple of emails, and we've had one that I'm going to pose to our two special guests in just one moment. That lovely track before was David Gray, Babylon, here on Joy. Now, I'd like to also introduce again to our listeners, Kate Martin and Andrew Follows. Joining us, we're talking about art and we're talking about travel and the two combined. So the message that we had, and I'll pose this to both of you, was people with disabilities as artists, I mean, what are the different features of their artwork and their experiences?
I guess the thing to make note here, I guess, is that it's important not to, I guess, sort of segregate people who have disabilities from artists who don't have disabilities. It's one of the things that we're quite, you know, keen on focusing on with this project, is making sure that it's not labelled as a disability arts project. This is an arts project. We have two photographers, Andrew Follows, but we also have Rosita McKenzie, who's another photographer who's blind, who's based in Edinburgh, who's joining in with the exhibition as well. And the important thing to emphasise is that, you know, these are artists first who happen to have a disability.
So they're artists with abilities.
Absolutely.
And their abilities may vary person to person.
That's right. I mean, obviously, your life experiences will affect your artwork and influence your artwork, but that happens for anybody. So while the fact that Andrew is blind is, you know, very important part of his artwork and the process of his artwork, it's not the central focus, and we don't want people to sort of make the assumption that all blind photographers shoot photography in exactly the same way. So
they're important. Yeah, okay, it's interpretation.
And that's why Jodie and I do radio. We can't interpret things to be able to put them down at the other end of a camera, can we, Jodes?
No.
So we don't have any abilities around photography.
We've got good faces for radio.
We have. And that's why Andrew and your other artist have skills that other artists have about how to conceptualise and how to capture an image.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think you're right, Kate, and I like your approach about not segregating people based on their ability, but also, you know, I guess it's a bit like life in general, isn't it? I know particularly a lot of gay and lesbian, transgender, bisexual, intersex people feel often stereotyped and often marginalised or labelled. And actually, you know, it's all about being a human being and what your experiences are of that person. Yeah. And what you and your perspective.
A few months ago, I did a project with Arts Access Victoria, and I was photographing artists with a disability. And I went and saw this particular young lady. She had no communication skills, none whatsoever, and yet she could draw by memory the perfect skeleton of an animal.
How amazing.
And it just floored me. And I'm thinking, here's this fantastic, talented drawer, and she could have her own exhibition. It was just brilliant. So, I mean, her work stands alone. I guess it's the same with my photography. My photography it stands alone, and the disability is secondary. It's not until they realise afterwards that, this guy's legally blind, they go, and then they revisit the work because they're trying to work out how the hell did he take that photograph then. And this young lady with her recall is brilliant.
Now, do all arts administrators, do all perhaps funding bodies, do all aspects of the art world not discriminate? Are there some interesting people that see the overlay of being a blind person ahead of the artist?
Well, there's a couple of things that are starting to make a change, and we're lobbying at the moment through Arts Victoria is to segregate the funding rounds a bit more, or partition the funding rounds. So people with disabilities aren't fighting for the same pool of money because we're not winning. And now, even though our art stands alone, but there just seems to be that sort of segregation between...
I think it's a difficult balance to strike as well, because often you have the situation where while you don't want to discriminate and you don't want to segregate, you also have to acknowledge that a lot of artists who have disabilities, for them, the costs of running their own business as an arts practitioner is often much more expensive than that of an ordinary artist, particularly if you happen to have a guide dog and you want to travel to Edinburgh. It costs an awful lot of money, and those sorts of things, it can be quite difficult. Also just things that people take for granted, like accessing websites and being able to read websites, being able to access information about funding rounds and deadlines and filling out forms, the things that most people do on a regular sort of basis. We've been working together for the last year doing quite a few funding applications, and
it's hard work.
It's incredibly hard work if you don't have that sort of the same access as everybody else. And even when you come to, if you're lucky enough to have an exhibition, to be able to have access to the venue, to be able to have access to making sure that everybody else can access your work as well. Braille, it all adds up. It can be very, very expensive. But there are funders who are acknowledging that more and more, so there is a move now. But again, we're hoping that this exhibition and the project that we're working on will help draw attention to some of these issues as well.
I think you're interesting with your comment, Kate, about accessing venues and making it appropriate for everybody to be inclusive. I was asked to open an exhibition of some artists with disabilities for International Day of People with Disabilities a couple of years ago, and I asked them to email me through a briefing, and they sent it through as a PDF. And I said, well, you're making some assumptions that I can read a PDF document here. Fortunately, I can. But if this is about access and inclusion, then why don't you make the information accessible? And the venue itself was accessible for people with mobility needs. Mm. But the height of the paintings and the pictures were at the height of somebody standing.
Absolutely.
To me, I couldn't fathom why couldn't they get that right. Let's have a think about this crazy stuff. Let's talk about the travel aspects of the planning for this trip to Edinburgh. So run us through the itinerary of what you're hoping to achieve.
Well, we start off with Andrew arriving. And
with the red carpet.
With the red carpet. One for him and one for Eamon.
We're actually getting Eamon prepared now, which is quite intensive. So he's had his shots with the vet and going through VACOS at the moment, and getting all his paperwork in order for export, import out of Australia into the UK and then vice versa back.
And he has no quarantine period at the other end?
He's exempt from the normal animal quarantines because he's classified as a service dog. What happens is he'll go into home quarantine. So I can still work him as I normally do, but he's not allowed to have any access to any other animals for about 4 weeks.
Yep.
And that's no drama with me. So, but the paperwork that to get Eamon out of the country and back into the country is horrific. So we're sort of setting all that up at the moment for him. So when I go to the airport in late July, everything's all ready. Fly out and then hope for the best. I'll get contact with Guide Dog Scotland. They'll look after me for a couple of days when I first get there, so I can get familiarised, get Eamon into a routine as well, because that's very important while I'm over there, to sort of have a structure for him to go by.
So, Andrew, just on that point, why is it important for a guide dog to have structure when he goes to a different place or even indeed a different country?
The dogs are trained on routine primarily. So, like in my home where I live, there's a routine of going to the shops, and there might be a routine when I come into the city. So there's that sort of constant routine aspects that he's familiar with. When you take him outside that routine, he's got to learn. And if you can imagine a four-year-old child in the middle of Bourke Street not knowing where to go, imagine that if that was in Edinburgh. So his anxieties will be very high while we're over
him. So for him to do his job in supporting you, he needs to have the routine.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So having support with Guide Dogs Scotland for the first couple of days is important for Eamon's well-being, so he can be settled and feel comfortable while we're over there.
And while Andrew's on his way over to Edinburgh, Kate, you're here in Melbourne, Australia at the moment.
I am.
And then you're here on holidays visiting relatives.
Yes.
Heading back to the UK.
Yes, so I'm heading back on the 17th. Which is coming around far too quickly for my liking. And when I do go back, we'll hit the ground running, and that's when the main sort of activities will start taking place, more fundraising, trying to gain more sponsors for the project. We'll be setting up the venue for the exhibition, we'll be organising which photographs to print and frame and then send over, and working with Rosita, our other partner artist, and we'll try and organise some workshops and some talks as well, so we can get the public involved in what we're doing. And, yeah.
Then I'll be heading up into the Highlands, travelling up to the Highlands of Scotland.
So where exactly are you going?
I don't know yet. Aiming north. I've got to go across to Glasgow. There's a couple of things I want to do in Glasgow, then go up the coast, the west coast, is it west coast? Yeah, the west coast, into the Highlands, do some photography up in there, which will formulate a new exhibition back in Melbourne, and then head down into the UK, into Leeds. Leeds has a very arty community, very cosmopolitan. Very, very cosmopolitan arts community in Leeds. So I want to check out what's going on there. And I've got some friends in Leeds as well.
Any chance of a Andrew Follows speaking tour while you're there? Mini speaking tour? Some half-hour grabs?
I think we're doing that, aren't we?
Definitely.
Yes.
We'll be documenting the whole project.
Well, here's the deal. Can you send us some tweets to @ Detours Joy 949 and let us know how you're going. We'd love to share that with our listeners.
We're going to also do some live feeds at Fed Square as well.
Oh, terrific.
So they've been a great supporter for the project, and they'll be doing some stuff for me as part of the trip when I'm over there, which will be fantastic.
Now, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the other partner in the exhibition, and I'd like to explore a little bit more about the travel logistics of this amazing trip, because it's not just you rocking up to the airport with your wheelie suitcase. I mean, there's a lot of things to plan and organise, and I think that's something we could explore a bit further here on Detours Joy 94.9. And we're going to hear a bit of Michael Jackson here on Joy.
Your voice, your radio station. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. The only station gutsy enough to play this classic track. J. Joy 94.9, the only station gutsy enough to play this classic track.
And that was a classic track of Michael Jackson medley. Even though I asked before what tracks everyone wants to play and they all frowned at Michael Jackson, but I thought I'd play it anyway.
I didn't frown. Okay. Thank you. I like a bit of Michael.
Good, yeah.
Our guest today,
Andrew. Looking at me.
Well, that's Andrew Follows. Andrew Follows is our guest today alongside Kate Martin. And just before the break, we were talking about Andrew and his journey to Edinburgh, where he and Eamon are preparing and getting ready to go to Edinburgh. But at the other end of the rainbow at Edinburgh is a person that you've come to meet and know and who's also contributing artist and part of it. How'd that all come about and who is she?
Well, I think I met Rosita McKenzie a couple of years ago through my arts education work that I was doing. And I think I met her when she attended a tour for visually impaired people at a gallery I was working at in Edinburgh. And then I kept bumping into her again and again. Edinburgh's a very small place. This happens all the time. And I think I met her again at a disability arts forum that was taking place in Glasgow. And she was very outspoken and very passionate. And I got in touch with her because of the project that Andrew and I had started working on, with a view to getting some advice from her and asking her how she thought we could proceed with it. And we got talking about it, and she was talking about wanting to establish an international network for visually impaired people and disabled artists. And I said, oh, isn't that interesting? Because that's exactly what Andrew wants to do. And I guess the rest was history. It just all fell into place very quickly. Rosita has many contacts and is very well situated within the arts community in the UK and in Edinburgh in particular, and has been a constant source of inspiration and motivation, and is just, again, you know, an absolute joy to work with. And Andrew and Rosita have met virtually through Skype, and everything has just been going really, really well with putting together the project. So Rosita will be contributing work to the exhibition as well, and she's actually embarking on a very unusual process where she'll be, well, she's already started looking at Andrew's work, and she'll be, I guess, echoing some of the themes that are prevalent in Andrew's work, and in particular Andrew's recent documentation of the Black Saturday bushfires. She's started documenting some bushfires that took place in Scotland last year. So kind of comparing two different sides of the world.
Well, connecting two different sides. Yeah, what an interesting connection.
Yeah.
Now, Andrew, for you, that personal connection with Rosita, at what point is it more than just a name or a voice at the end of the Skype line? When do you actually connect with another artist?
I think we connected then when we had our talk. Yeah. We just seemed to be on the same wavelength, especially about our photography and how we see the arts community in general and the whole project. So I'm very much looking forward to meeting with Rosita when I go over there and start really working together, doing the workshops. I'm hoping to learn so much from her and her experience in what she's accomplished herself in the arts community over the last, 15 odd years. And then hopefully I can bring that back to Australia and formulate a national program for people with disabilities in the arts. So to work with Rosita, see how she sees the world with her photography as well would be challenging for me as well, because everyone sees things differently in photography. So it's going to be a fantastic experience.
The other part I think is beautiful is it's two people with sight abilities that are far different to fully sighted people. You're going to experience things differently. You'll smell the smells of Edinburgh. Your extra senses that are so far more developed than mine and ours will be exploring Scotland in a way that many of us don't actually explore. You're looking forward to that too, Andrew?
Absolutely.
I think you're going to teach me a lot about the city that I've come to love over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and that's the same even in Melbourne. You know, everything's all visual, especially in Melbourne. So it's not, you don't realise things until someone that's got visually impairment points something out, and he goes, "Oh, didn't know that." So it's, I guess Edinburgh will be the same thing. I'll be doing stuff, and I'll say to Kate, "Oh, look, whatever it's going to be. And I don't know.
Cooking a haggis.
Oh, smell yeah. of haggis in the morning.
Edinburgh is a beautiful city. It
I
is
really
just
can't
gorgeous.
Wait. And the fact that I've still got some vision, because it is going, there'll be a time where I won't have any vision. So to be able to see another country before my sight goes, to me, it's a total thrill.
Now, this experience of planning the exhibition that you'll be holding in Edinburgh in September of this year for the Edinburgh Art Festival, it takes a lot of logistics and planning. And you were talking before, Kate and Andrew, about talking on Skype and writing funding submissions sort of virtually. Mm. What have been some of the challenges about putting this together?
I think time often works against you in these sorts of situations when you're working in two different time zones. I mean, that's one of the major things. When I moved over to Edinburgh, I still maintained a lot of my contacts here in Australia, which has been really helpful for my curatorial practice. But it's tricky sometimes trying to keep the flow of communication at, you know, a sort of momentum. It's sometimes sort of, you know, if you don't have your internet on all the time, if you don't have Facebook on all the time, sometimes you'll miss things. Or, you know, when Andrew's really active, I'm about to go to sleep, or vice versa. So there's been a lot of late night Skyping conversations and early morning conversations and last minute budget revisions. So I think they've probably been the most challenging aspects. But I think all in all, it's actually been a really wonderful experience. I've usually worked very much on my own, and collaborating with both Andrew and Rosita has been a really wonderful experience. It's really great to kind of have someone to constantly support you and reward you and thank you for the hard work that you're doing as well. And just to ring up and have a whinge sometimes is also really nice.
It's been a few of those. It's good in another way too, because I'm always constantly wanting to learn. So this is another aspect of putting an exhibition on an international stage. So learning so much from Kate is been really fantastic, getting all that positive input. And same from Rosita and other people that I'm talking to overseas. I did a business arts incubator course last year, and that also, it's all a learning thing. It's what you want to get out of the arts community. Now, if you want to put into it, you'll get a lot more out of it.
So. Fantastic. We've had a caller who's just returned from Europe as well. Say, now, Kate, what's your accent? What is your accent?
Topic of the day. My accent is Australian Scottish, I think. I don't know.
West Coast Australian Scottish.
Well, originally West Coast, but I'm a Melbourne girl at heart. Yeah.
You know, after this little break we're about to have, stay with us, because I'd like to find out more from Kate about her passion and what connected her with art and disability too. You're on Detours with Jodie and Greg on Joy 94.9.
Become a Joy member today. It's the coolest gay club in town. 1300 Joy 949.
You're on Joy 94.9. I'm Greg with Jodie, and this is the Detours show, which is I think we're about to start our 14th year of operation here at Joy 94.9. Congratulations, Jodie.
Thank you, Greg. Congratulations as well.
Jodie helped set it up all those years ago, and I joined as I'm only an 8.5-year-old virgin here.
Virgin.
Haven't been here long. Our guests today are Andrew Follows and Kate Miller and Kate Martin. And Kate, I want to explore a little bit more with you the connection with art and disability. You're a fully abled person, from what I can see. You have no sight impairments.
I don't, no.
How did you connect with art and disability?
I don't know. It wasn't a planned thing. The first exhibition that I organised, one of the first exhibitions I organised, was for National Youth Week back in 2007. And the exhibition that I put together was based on what I saw as a really concerning trend of mental illness among young people. And I guess I've always been, I guess from that moment, I've always been interested in looking at I guess, groups or people who get categorised into groups that sort of lie on the periphery of the arts sector. So I guess perhaps maybe that's where it began. But the thing that governs everything that I do, whether it's curating or arts education work, is that for me, having access to art, having access to understanding art, seeing art or appreciating it on whatever level, is something that should be available to everyone.
So it's a passion. This is actually part of you.
Yeah, I guess so. It's something that I get a lot out of, and when I'm able to help somebody else access an artwork, you know, it's an amazing experience when somebody can get something from that. Whether it's a positive or a negative experience, it's an experience, and I think that's all part of it. That's why we have art.
Now, when Andrew met Kate, is this something that you picked up pretty quickly, Andrew, in the outset when you first met her, that this is her passion, this is part of her?
Most definitely, yeah.
And what does it mean to you now? I mean, you've got a friendship that goes beyond the professional relationship, clearly. So how does that inform your friendship as well?
I don't know.
It's a tough question, I know, but we do. When we come together, when we travel overseas or here in Australia, our journeys here bring us together, we have professional relationships, and those sometimes blend and merge, and we develop friendships with the people we have professional relationships with. And Eamon agrees on the floor.
You can't growling. Maybe he doesn't like our relationship, Andrew.
He's jealous.
Maybe
you're connected. It started off as being professional, and I think just as, like you said, as time goes on, you develop because you get to know each other's idiosyncrasies and little habits and stuff. So I guess the friendships do form. And while I'm in Edinburgh, it's going to make my journey a lot easier knowing Kate and her connections, because it's just going to make my experience of being in Scotland a lot more pleasant and enjoyable.
And just as we said at the head of the show, when those journeys sometimes take people away from us, so there'll be some point in your professional relationship where Kate's off doing another project in 10 years and you're off doing your own project, and for a while you'll be apart, but the wheels will bring you back together again.
Well, so we're already discussing what will happen next.
That's incredible.
And
and what does that look like?
Well, funnily enough, Andrew has his sights set on Berlin as the next international destination, which, you know, I think is fantastic. And I have a lot of connections with Berlin myself.
And your partner's German.
My partner's German. Mm-hmm. He's from Berlin. There's quite a possibility that we'll be moving there within the next year. So chances are, you know, if he wants to come to Berlin, I'll probably be the one helping him come over to Berlin.
Just don't say, ich bin ein Berliner.
So it's quite strange, actually. It wasn't a planned thing. It was one of those things that just sort of developed out of discussion and conversation, but actually seems like it's something that quite, you know, could...
And the reason I chose Berlin is that Berlin has a high respect for photography in all its shapes and forms. So it just seemed like the next thing to do, to progress to, is to have an exhibition in Berlin.
Do you know, coming up shortly, we've got Cravings at 1 o'clock with Pete Dillon, and he's a man that has a passion for all things culinary and in wine with food, and certainly Berlin food, German food, the extraordinary stuff you have in Germany is something that Pete has on his show. But you'll explore that as well. It's that cultural side of travel. So when you make it to Berlin, I'm sure there's new tastes and flavours and sounds.
Ooh,
and sights.
Yes.
And if you've just joined the program, this is Detours here on Joy 94.7. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg. And we're speaking with Kate Martin and Andrew Follows about a forthcoming trip in Edinburgh to the Edinburgh Arts Festival. This trip is hard to plan. Mm. Not just the logistics of travelling with a guide dog and all your photography works that you need to ship over safely, all of those sort of plannings, but it's actually the funding aspect, which I would say is probably the most challenging. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
So what is it that listeners could do to help?
Listeners can get in touch with us and either through my website or through Andrew's website, drop us a line, let us know what you can do to help, if you can help.
And those websites are?
Websites are contemporaryartexchange.org and Andrew's website.
Blinky Photography, BLINKIE, photography.com.au. And we've also set up a Facebook page.
We have.
blind photographer Andrew Follows UK Residency on Facebook.
And the sort of help you need is cash, yeah?
Cash, sponsorship, yeah. Anything that anyone could help make this dream come true, really. I've put together a beautiful calendar for this year of my works, sort of star trails and a bit of night photography, showcasing what I can do in photography. So they're available to purchase.
And how much are they?
They're $25. And they're... all money raised goes towards the Edinburgh project.
Jody, there's some corporate people out there in the airline industries and the travel sector. I know a lot of people, staff groups that listen to Detours, there might be a group of staff that fly with a particular airline. Get your asses out of the gear and let's get some staff fundraising. Get 50 or 60 people from a major airline out supporting Andrew as a group of people and get some money in his bank account.
And wonderful. Insurance companies.
Ah, insurance companies.
Or travel insurance companies.
The problem we've got, travel insurance is fine for me, but I'm trying to get insurance for Eamon. For why I'm overseas, and that seems to be nobody wants to touch.
Okay. Well, if anyone's listening who has some insider information and can help out, we'd love to hear from you on air at joy.org.au or maybe contact Andrew Follows directly at Blinky, B-L-I-N-K-I-E, photography.com.au. Because, yeah, I mean, these are important things that you need to do. To make sure everyone's safe and looked after.
He needs to be safe and looked after. I mean, the chances of something going wrong are minimum, but you just don't want to be unprepared for something because veterinary costs are expensive in Australia. They're more expensive in the UK. So, you know, I'd be lost without having the guide dog.
Absolutely.
Well, you would be. And Eamon would be lost without having
lost,
you.
Literally lost, actually.
Now, Andrew and Kate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on
Thank
Detours.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and we want to book in ahead now. We want to say when you come back from Edinburgh, yep. We would love to have you on board. In fact, if you're available on the phone, we'd like to talk to you. It'll be about 2 o'clock in the morning or 1 in the morning when we
bring
you over there. We'd like to actually
we'll
speak
stay
to
up.
You. Which is great.
And no, if you need no. some local host guides to help out, I'm sure Linda and Bex from Edinburgh will be willing and able to help, and I'll make sure I can help connect you guys across the seas so that you can have some other friendly faces help you
lovely.
Out while you're there. And best of luck. I think it's just, I really admire the fact that you've decided what you want to go for and you're trying to make it happen and you know, the friendship and professional relationship with Kate's fantastic.
This is so out of my comfort zone, which is good for me. So, you know, it's all part of life and learning and you just got to do things. So,
well, Andrew Follows, Kate Martin. It's been a pleasure. And Jody, it's been a lovely show again.
It has been, Greg. And we'll look forward to being here back again next Saturday at 12 noon here on Joy. Coming up very shortly, we'll have the news. And then following that, Pete Dillon from Cravings here on Joy. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Get more of the fresh new sounds from around the world.
Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.